If you would turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and we are going to read from two different portions of Matthew 28. Amen. What a wonderful week it has been, and thankful for all the great reports, not only from our Easter service, but also from Camino de Vida, Way of Life Africa, the Rock Church, Pentecostals of Flower Mound, Grace Point, all the different works that are moving forward in the Spirit. Amen. And so thankful for what is going on at Grace Point. If you have not heard, they have been approved for Church in a Day, and it has been scheduled for October 26th. So put that on your calendar, and you will not want to miss the Church in a Day in Hazlett. Is going to be fantastic. That morning, you'll go out there and there'll be a slab, and all the walls will be laying down. And about 1 hour later, everything will be standing up. About 2 hours later, they'll be putting in windows and drying in the roof. And you just will not believe what happens so quickly. And there's something for everyone to do, because there is something for every skill level. Also, if you're not inclined to do any kind of building, there's always cleaning. Everything needs to be kept tidy because there's so many people moving around. Also, and there's food service, because we'll be feeding the crew all day long, and there's going to be somewhere around 350 to 400 people out there working. So there's something for everyone to do. So take that day off. Don't plan anything on that weekend, and we're going to go help the Fosters and Grace Point build a church in a day. It is one of the most fantastic things you will ever see. Amen. Matthew 28 and 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And then verse 16, it says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What a powerful passage of Scripture. And tonight I want to preach to you this simple title, Where To From Here. Where To From Here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch our minds and our hearts. Lord, that you would quicken my spirit, Lord, that you would help me to speak the words of life, Lord. I ask you to challenge us, Lord, to do the things that we are called to do, that we would take your great gift that you purchased with your own blood, and that we would move into a world that is desperate for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Put your Bibles down and put your hands together. Let's love the Lord. Amen. We magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Where to from here? The Easter season is such a wonderful time of celebration. We look back to the cross and we see the terrible price that was paid for our sins. And we talked about many of these things on Sunday. And I'm so thankful for the sacrifice that He gave for us. And if we ever want to understand the value that God places on a human soul, we can look back at the cross and we can realize that He paid the ultimate price, because in economics, the value of something is set by what someone is willing to pay for it. And so He thought you and I were so valuable, every soul in the world, that He thought it was so valuable that He was willing to lay down His life, and that He was willing to give Himself, not just in some simple dying in His sleep, but He went through the terrible cross, the terrible pain, the terrible suffering of that cross, so that His blood could be shed once and for all for sin. And I'm thankful for that sacrifice. And then we talked about on Sunday morning, the second day, the day in between, the darkest day. It is a day of uncertainty. We don't really know exactly what's going on. We remember, the disciples remembered what He said, that He was going to have to die, that He was going to rise again. But in that moment, sometimes in the middle of our darkest time, we forget. We forget. We forget the most valuable things. We forget how God has brought us through before. We forget how He has healed us before. We forget, because in the middle of the trouble, it is so easy for our mind to be distracted from our experience and from our knowledge. But the darkest day turned into the brightest day, and that's where we began our text tonight. And there Mary and Mary went back to the sepulcher to anoint His body for burial, to prepare Him for burial. The process, their tradition of the process was going to take place that day. And they got there, and the Bible says that as they were getting there, the earth shook, and there was an angel that descended and moved the stone away, and He sat down on top of the rock there. And the soldiers that were guarding the tomb, they were so overcome that the Bible says they became as dead men. They passed out. They fainted. They lay there as dead men. And here, this angel begins to proclaim to them what their heart dare not hope for. But he said, "Hey, He is not here, for He is risen. Come and see where He used to lay. He's not here anymore, but come and see that." And they say, he told them to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was going to meet with them. And on their way back, of course, Jesus appeared to the Marys there and told them that He was back and that He was going to meet the disciples. What a powerful process. What a victorious day this was. The death, the bleeding, the terrible pain that He went through, the veil renting in the temple from top to bottom, all of this stuff happened this powerful, powerful weekend. But as I mentioned briefly on Sunday, it did not happen just so that we could celebrate a day. It was not just an event on the calendar. It was a pivot point. It was a transformation of all time. It was the fulcrum by which the whole universe pivots right on that point where He died and was buried and was raised again. Everything changed. It was truly 3 days that changed the world. And it wasn't so much that we could point back to it, but it was what it started. He didn't do that so that we could point back to some sort of event, some signpost moment in our lives and say, "Oh, that was great. That was wonderful." So we could show somebody the slideshow of our vacation or of our event. No, He didn't do it for that reason. He didn't do it so we could look back on it, but He did it so that He could empower us for the moment that we're in right now. Because here, the last thing He said to them, He said, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. He was trying to prepare them that this was not the end, but this was the beginning of something powerful. And that is what the church is all about. He came to establish the church. And the reason we talk about the death, and the reason we talk about the burial, and the reason we talk about the resurrection is not because it's some powerful event one time in history, but because it is something that he wanted us to relive every day in our life. And he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to take part in the death, burial, and resurrection of his life. He wants all of us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. It is our reasonable service. It's the least we can do, because when we lose our life, we gain it. When we lay down our life, we pick it up, because when you put it in his hands, he is the one that can keep it. Amen. So the tomb was discovered early on that Sunday morning. And that day he appeared unto Mary and Mary, the mother of James, and he presented himself. They thought he was the gardener, but when he spoke, they realized who he was. And the Bible says they fell at his feet and they held on to him. They worshiped him. They reached the tomb and everything changes. The 11 disciples hear of the news, and this changes their outlook. Here they are fugitives. They are running for their life. But now the thing that they dare not hope for is come to pass, and now they're so happy. They cannot believe it. Peter and John run to the tomb to see what is going on. And this resurrection day, Jesus appears to them. He shows himself alive. He lets them know. The temple guards go back and tell the legion leaders that, hey, this has happened. And they pay the guards off to keep it quiet. Jesus appears to the two men on the road to Emmaus. The Bible tells us that on the road to Emmaus, he appeared and he began to talk to them. And they were even describing the events. Can you believe what happened this weekend? It is terrible that Jesus is dead. They didn't know who he was. But then when he sat down and he broke the bread, they realized who he was and he disappeared. And they said one to another, they said, oh, didn't our hearts burn within us? Thomas refuses to believe, but it won't be long until he sees him too. 1 week after the resurrection, he appears to Thomas and he lets Thomas touch the nail scars in his hands, and he proclaims, my Lord and my God. And he realizes that Jesus really is alive. And then at the end of this 40-day period, from the time that he was resurrected to the time that he ascended into the sky, it was 40 days. And there he led them out to the Mount of Olives. He blessed them in Luke 24 and 51. And he lifted up his eyes and he said that he told them, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And so what he did in those 40 days and what he is still doing today is establishing his power, his ability to do what he has always been able to do. What did he do in those 40 days? He did miracles. He showed signs and wonders. The Bible says in Acts that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. There was no doubt who he was by the miracles and the signs and wonders that he did. He encouraged them. The resurrection scattered them, made them run in fear. But after the resurrection, or the cross scattered them and made them run in fear, but the resurrection, he came and he met with them and he gathered them back together. Why? Because he did not die just for some abstract purpose, but he died to establish the church of the living God. He died to establish a church, and he knew that these 11 men that were left from his disciples, that they were going to be the foundation of the church. And so he gathered them. He encouraged them. He showed himself alive to them. And probably the most powerful thing that he did, the Bible says that he taught them the things of the kingdom, concerning the kingdom. He taught them. And so this powerful process, he did miracles. He showed signs. He encouraged them. And he taught them the ways of the kingdom. And this established them. And when they came to the point of Pentecost, and in that upper room, they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Everything changed. Peter went from a man that you weren't sure what you were going to get. He had high highs and low lows. You just never knew who he was going to be and what he was going to say and what he was going to do. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, the Bible said it changed him. He stood up with the 11 and he began to preach the most powerful message he had ever preached. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, something else happened from the ascension to Pentecost. It was about 10 days. At the ascension, the Bible tells us, lets us know that there was 500. In the upper room, there was 120. What happened? Time. What happened? Circumstance. Sometimes between the miraculous thing that God shows us. Can you imagine being there and watching as Jesus was taken up in a bodily form into the air? What an amazing process that would be. You know, we're used to hearing about superheroes. You know, they fly, they run fast, they knock down walls, they leap high buildings, they're faster than a speeding bullet, and they're stronger than a locomotive, whatever. We hear all that. But this, they didn't have all that in their mind. So here they are. There are 500 of them on the hillside, and they watch Jesus go into the sky. And they go back to Jerusalem, but somewhere along the way, some of them didn't make the trip. Some of them didn't make the trip. 500. Down to 120. And the thing we've got to be careful from here to where God wants to take us is not to get lost in the transition. Because sometimes when God calls you, when you feel that powerful move of the Spirit in your mind and your heart, and you hear the voice of God calling you to do something for Him, then you get away from that and you start to talk yourself out of it. Come on now. There's been many people called, but there's few that are chosen. It's not because he says, hey, I want you to come, and then they start to come and say, oh, no, I didn't mean you. No. It's because somewhere between the call and the choosing, they got distracted. Somewhere between the call and the choosing, they started counting the cost. Somewhere between the call and the choosing, they decided that they would rather do something else, something easier, something more comfortable, something less strenuous, something that didn't require faithfulness or commitment or accountability. And so they decided that something else would be easier. And so somewhere between the ascension and the day of Pentecost, there was some 380 that did not make the trip. I don't know. Maybe they came later. Maybe they were part of the 3,000 that were added that day. Maybe so. I'm sure there were some of them. But they missed the initial outpouring. They missed the powerful thing that God was doing on the day of Pentecost. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to let the life that is all around us, the struggles, the things that we have to do, I do not want those things to rob me of the miraculous thing that God wants me to be a part of. There is no job, there is no business, there is no amount of money, there is no relationship, there is nothing that is more important than the will of God in my life. Amen. There's nothing more important. There's no desire that I have. There's no goal that I have that is more important than being right in the middle of the will of God. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my past is. It doesn't matter what I've got to do. I have got to have Jesus. Amen. And of course, we have practical life, and there's nothing wrong with practical life, but it's our priorities in the midst of the practical that make the difference. And so Jesus did miracle signs, encouraged, he taught, he prepared, and then he poured out his spirit. And he not only poured it out, but he poured it in. He poured it into them. He had been pouring his life into them for 3.5 years. He had been preparing them for this moment. He had been teaching them. He paid the price with his own blood so that they could have access to it. And now not only did he pour his life out, but he poured his spirit out and he poured it into them. And these simple men and women, they were just practical people, fishermen, tax collectors. They were physicians. They were just normal people. Just like you and I. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our mind around it because we hear and we read and we realize all the things that the disciples and the apostles, ultimately the apostles, did. And we think, well, they're like superhuman. They're different than us. They don't walk like us. They don't hurt like us. They don't get tired like us. They don't have responsibilities like us. No, they were just like us. I love the way God inspires people to write. Because here he is, okay, he's risen from the dead. And they know that he rose from the dead because he appeared to them, right? For 40 days, he had been with them. 40 days teaching and doing miracles and all this stuff. And then it says, he appeared unto them and they worshiped him. And then the Bible, just for you and I, God inspired Matthew to write, and some doubted. Aren't you glad they put that in there? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad they put that in there. Because I don't doubt very often, but I do doubt. There's sometimes I'm like the man in the Bible that says, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. You got to help me here. I think I know somewhere down deep inside my faith says that you can do it. But my practical guys whispered in my ear and said, are you sure? Maybe, possibly. He's done it before, but I'm not sure he'll do it for you. So I'm so thankful that they worshiped him. But then Matthew said, well, and some doubted. He was Jesus. He did all these miraculous things. They'd seen him in his life. They saw him die on the cross. And now they're spending time with him. After he died, they touched him. They touched his scars. And they're still doubting. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes on Sunday night, power of God sweep through here. We're all sitting around basking in the glory. And Monday morning, I wake up and I'm like, where are you, Lord? Are you still here? You know, it's just the fact of life. But God has called us to be more than the sum of our parts. He has called me to be more than my physical ability, more than my mental capacity, and more than my creative talent ability. He has called me to be more than that. Because naturally I am weak, but supernaturally I am strong. Because naturally I am poor, but supernaturally I am rich. Naturally, I doubt and have fear and have reservations. I'm just not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I can accomplish that. But oh, supernaturally, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. And so where to from here? God is calling us to be the church. The church is something so powerful that the world doesn't even understand it. Oh, the world makes fun of the church. The world thinks it's some religion out there. But no, the church is not a religion. The church is an entity that was created by God, that was birthed, that was bought by His blood. It is the thing that will never die. It will never fail. It will never go down. The church is going up. The increase of His government, there shall be no end. And so the church is predestinated for victory. Ultimately, the church is going to be victorious. We're going to come back with Him. We're going to rule and reign. We are going to be powerful. We are going to be a part of His kingdom. It's predestinated. It's going to happen. God said it. It cannot stop. There's no enemy that can stop it. Amen. The devil's so dumb. He's been defeated so many times, but he just keeps getting back up and trying again. Right? He just keeps trying again. He thought he had it all taken care of on the cross, and then Jesus came knocking. He thought he had it all taken care of, and then the stone rolled away. He thought he had it all taken care of, and then the power of God fell in the upper room. He thought he had it all taken care of. And he's still trying to thwart the purpose of God. But no one, no thing, no spirit, no principality, no power will ever defeat the purpose of God. Ultimately, the church is going to be victorious. What is not predestinated is your part and my part. That's what free will is all about. There is a probability factor in the predestination of the church. The church is going to be victorious. The probability is, will I be a part of it? And I want you to know, young and old, new and those that have been here for years, God is wanting us to be a greater church than we are. He is wanting us to fully grasp and understand the miracles, signs, and wonders that He has put at our fingertips. He is wanting us to pray fervent prayers that shake heaven and move earth. He is wanting us to witness and to teach and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because this thing that we have, this treasure that we hold in earthen vessels, this knowledge that God has given us of His Word is not to be taken lightly. Amen. It's not to be taken lightly because it is precious. The fact that you are here tonight and you understand, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The fact that you understand that you can repent of your sins, you can have your sins remitted or removed, washed away in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. The fact that you understand that the gift of the Holy Ghost is real. And that you have received it by the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And how you understand that there is a way that God wants us to live. It is called the highway of holiness. It is a way that God calls us to live. It's a privilege. And the fact that you know that is so powerful. But it's not enough to know it. It was not enough to know that Jesus was resurrected. It was not enough to know that He ascended into heaven. It was not enough to know that they needed to go to Jerusalem. But it took a time. They had to be patient. They had to pray. They had to stay. They had to be faithful. They had to be committed. They loved not their life unto death, the Bible says. Many of them died in faith, not having received the promise. But oh, they are perfected in us. They're perfected in us. How is that? Because we are still carrying the torch. It's like a relay race. I never was very good at the relay race. I was good at the solo race. Believe it or not, I was fast. I know I don't look fast now. It's because I'm not. Sometimes looks can be deceiving. They're not. I'm slow. And as fast as I can go, I can't go very far. But back in the day, as we say, I was fast. Of course, I only weighed 120 pounds. That probably had a lot to do with it. But I was fast. But I was good at the solo race. But that relay race is something different, because it's not enough just to be fast. You've got to make sure you make the handoff. And if you're the person that's running next, you got to make sure you get it firmly in your hand before you go. Because if you drop it, you're disqualified. You're not going to win the race. And so from the very beginning, the church started running the race. From the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were added, and then 5,000 were added, and then the oppression began to come in on Jerusalem. The Bible says they were spread to all the corners of the earth. That was not by happenstance. I believe that was orchestrated by God. God sent them out. He gave them the gospel. He sent them out with their batons, carrying what they had, and it was the church. And they carried it, and the fathers of the gospel passed it on to their children, and through the generations, centuries, and millennia pass. And here we are in 2018, and there's some that dropped by the wayside. They traded the real baton for a fake one. But oh, but us, we still live according to the apostles' doctrine. We still believe that God is real, that He is still with us, that He is still filling people with the Spirit. We still believe that He is doing the miraculous. And so from the generations before us, we take the baton and we begin to run the race with patience. Where to from here? I'll tell you. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name. Oh, the scripture says the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we know, and they knew what the name was. Everywhere that someone was baptized in scripture, they were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. And so here we are. We're running the race. Where to from here? I'll tell you where. It's into our communities. It's into our schools. The hope for our world is not gun control. It is not the political system. It is not electing the right people in the right places. It's never, ever, 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 ever going to work. I think we still should vote. It's our right. It's our responsibility. We should pray and vote our conscience, and that's great. But it's never going to change forever. It's never going to change completely. The only thing that will change the world is the church. The only thing that will really change life is the church. Where to from here, young people? It's the church. It's the church. It's not in Hollywood. It's not in your games. It's not on social media, for sure. It's not there. It's not in your friends. It's not in a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It's not there. It's not in drugs and alcohol. It's not in pornography, the things this world has to offer. But it's the church. If you want a powerful life, give yourself to the church. Amen. If you want a good life, if you want a blessed life, stay in the church. Make every decision based on what's my role in the church. Is this good for my role in the church? When you go out on a date, before you go out on a date, is this good for my role in the church? Before you send a text, is this good for my role in the church? Because I've got to hold on. Because the church is the only thing. Listen to me, young people. The church is the only thing in this whole wide world that you can invest yourself in, and it's going to last. It's the church. It's the church. You want a blessed life? It's the church. You want a good marriage? It's the church. Amen. Where to from here? It's taking the church to the world. Notice I didn't say a church. It's the church. It's the church. The church. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The full gospel. Everything that God has given us. Amen. Jesus bought it with his own life. Can we stand? On this first Wednesday, this first Wednesday after Easter, it's powerful. I love the cross. I love the work of the second day. I'm thankful for what happened in the darkness and the uncertainty of the second day. Oh, and I'm thrilled by what happened on Resurrection Day. But that's not where it stops. The power of the cross and the power of the second day and the power of the third day is what we do with it now. Everyone in the world deserves to hear what you have heard. I want everyone to live the kind of life that I get to live. I want everyone to be saved, to lay down their head on their pillow at night and know if the Lord comes back tonight, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, yes, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's not about a day. It's not about a holiday. It's not about a weekend. But, oh, it's about a church. Where to from here? Can we just be the church? Oh, let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, make us what we should be, Lord. Lord, change my mindset. Oh, in the name of Jesus, touch my heart tonight. Don't let me be satisfied to go through the motions. Don't let us be a social club, Lord. I love the fellowship. I love the breaking of bread. I love all of that, Lord, but let us not forget the prayers. And let us not forget the witness. Let us not forget the work of the kingdom. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Everyone needs to know the world is lost and dying and waiting for us to be the church. Waiting for us to bring the church. Oh, hallelujah. We are the church that can go into the highways and the byways, the hedges, and we could bring them in. Oh, let's worship the Lord and prepare our hearts tonight. Oh, this altar's open. Let's prepare ourselves.